This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Right now, get the lowest price at EdenPure.com with code word GRACE. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, New England. Welcome back to another day of the Grace Curley Show. I think you guys know what the focus of today's show is going to be. We do have a lot of different news stories, but most of them focus around the verdict that dropped yesterday in the Derek Chauvin trial. All three charges were found guilty, guilty, guilty. And I think a lot of people expected that just because the jury came to a decision very quickly. I was watching Fox News, and Trace Gallagher actually said that in all of the trials they've usually covered on mainstream, you know, cable television, if the jury comes to a decision that quickly, it does not usually look good for the defense. So I don't think anyone was really too surprised, but it was definitely the moment everyone was waiting for. There were people outside the courthouse. Everyone was just waiting to find out what was going to happen, whether there was going to be massive riots and, protesting. Or if there would be peace in the streets. And I was happy with the verdict. I was. I don't want to sound like Joe Biden, but, you know, now that it's over, I was happy with it because I do think this was a bad apple cop. I think he was a bad guy. I think that most cops that I've spoken to thought that he did a horrible thing. And I'm glad that justice prevailed. But now what we have to talk about is the fallout from this. Because the truth is that the Democrats are not happy about this. You know, Pelosi can tell you that she thinks it's great. I mean, actually, you know what? Let's just play. I got to play Pelosi first because her comment yesterday, and I was off the air at this point, but it was so bizarre. She really has a way of putting her foot in her mouth when it comes to anything to do with George Floyd. The first time was when she accidentally called him George Kirby. And now she gets up there again in front of all of these people. And this is what she has to say about the verdict. Cut 7.
Thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life for justice, for being there to call out to your mom. How heartbreaking was that? Call out for your mom. I can't breathe. But because of you, and because of thousands, millions of people around the world who came out for justice, your name will always be synonymous with justice.
There's a few reasons I find that odd. One is if what the Democrats and most people think is true, then he didn't sacrifice his life. He was killed. That was what the verdict said. So thanking him, and also the thanking him part is strange. I think most people, if they could pick, would say, I wish none of this had ever happened. But she's saying, thank you for sacrificing your life. It's just a strange message to thank someone in this situation. And then something else I noticed very quickly, because I go on social media and I'm thinking, all right, well, you know, this is a good day for the justice system, I'm sure. People who have been following this closely will be happy about this verdict. But no, all the posts I saw were, it's not justice. And once again, like all liberal things, it was kind of a pretzel bending logic. It's not justice because we shouldn't be happy that this happened when I couldn't even follow it. Because I'm thinking, wait, but you would have really been upset if it was not guilty. But now he's guilty. And most normal people outside the courtroom and stuff, they were relieved, they were happy. But from what I saw from politicians and from the mainstream media is that you should not be happy about this. because this is not justice. In my mind, it's the definition of justice. This guy Chauvin did something wrong and he got a guilty verdict. In my mind, that is what justice is. But I am not educated in wokeness and in the liberal mantras of the day. So I didn't understand why the knee-jerk reaction was, this is not justice. Don't even think about taking a minute and being happy about this verdict. And who comes out right away? You know, she loves those Instagram lives. She's always got that phone with her. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Listen to her reaction to the verdict. This is Cut 8.
It's not justice. And I'll explain to you why it's not justice.
Please do.
It's not justice because justice is George Floyd going home tonight to be with his family. Justice is Adam Toledo getting tucked in by his mom tonight. Justice is when you're pulled over, there not being a gun that's part of that interaction because you have a headlight out.
In this case, we're talking about justice being served in the sense of Derek Chauvin receiving justice. He did something wrong and justice is getting punishment for what you've done. But I just have to say, I'm not surprised that AOC and Al Sharpton and Maxine Waters, that they're all, you know, now framing this as this is not justice, because the truth is that they're not interested in justice at all. They're not interested in change. They're not interested in reform. It's the same reason why when Senator Scott brought a police reform bill after this horrible thing happened to George Floyd, he worked really hard on a police reform bill. And they kicked it to the curb. And you know why. It's because they don't. Well, first of all, it's because he's a Republican. So he, in their minds, you know, it, right there, it's dead on arrival. But secondly, they don't actually want anything to change. They enjoy this narrative. They enjoy the chaos and inciting more violence and creating more division. And of course, AOC wouldn't want the system to be working as it is, because our judicial system is part of what makes this country what it is. It's part of what makes us America. It sets us apart from the rest of the world. And AOC does not like that. In fact, she would rather destroy that. So it doesn't surprise me that she can't say this is the system working, because that's not what she wants. What AOC, what Al Sharpton, what Maxine Waters, what they want, they don't want resolutions. They don't want solutions. They don't want justice. They are interested in chaos and destruction and insightful rhetoric and grandstanding and being the story. So naturally, they are not happy with this. And I think that, well, the first thing I thought of was, okay, so now we're waiting for the next viral moment that is going to take over. And it happened even faster than I thought, because there was a situation in Columbus, Ohio, which I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard about, where a woman, and I'm actually going to read here, a police officer shot and killed a black teenager Tuesday afternoon after she attempted to cut two females with a knife, according to officials and body camera footage. Now, I watched the video. This teenage girl had a big knife in her hand and she was attacking another girl. Now, this takes over the internet. Her name is Makia Bryant. And some of the reaction, including reaction from Ben Crump, who is the attorney for George Floyd and his family. This is what he tweeted out. As we breathed a collective sigh of relief today, a community in Columbus felt the sting of another police shooting as Columbus police killed an unarmed 15-year-old black girl named Makia Bryant. Another child lost, another hashtag. I'm going to repeat that the part of this that's important, okay? If you're someone who cares about details, which clearly Crump does not. Yeah, this is a little bit of context for everybody. Columbus police killed an unarmed 15-year-old black girl. She had a massive knife in her hand. And that wasn't the only one. There were even tweets from ACLU Ohio that were kind of reiterating this fake narrative that this girl was murdered by a police officer who intervened. We're going to discuss this, and I have Jennifer Oliver O'Connell on at 12:30, and she's always fabulous, and she's going to break this down. But so this is from the ACLU of Ohio. The systems that allowed George Floyd to be murdered remain fully intact. Moments after we celebrated a win for police accountability in Minneapolis, news broke that Columbus police murdered a 15-year-old black girl. Her name was Makia Bryant. Say her name. It's important in these situations to focus on the details. This is actually what I wrote about for Spectator, which everyone can check out. But I was just trying to emphasize that there are bad cops, but there are also very specific, intense situations that you need to consider for each of these cases. You cannot blanket each case as systematic racism. Systemic, I'm sorry, I always mess that up. Racism in America. That doesn't make sense. And actually, this awesome guy, Kamel Foster, he was on with Ben Domenech last night on Fox, and he kind of broke down this same thing, that Derek Chauvin is not a stand-in for every single white person in America. But that's what the left wants you to think. So, and if you think that, then you think that this is pervasive, that this is everywhere, that this happens all the time. And that's just not true. We will be back on the other side. I'm going to open up the phone lines here. I'm sure people have thoughts on this. There's so much to break down. Kathy Griffin and other people are weighing in on this new situation in Columbus, basically saying, who hasn't gotten to a knife fight in their life? You know? And I'm waiting for the person to say, why couldn't he have shot the knife out of the girl's hand? That's always a popular theme. 844-500-4242. What is your take? We'll be talking to Jennifer Oliver O'Connell a little bit later in this hour. So do not go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. So here's the newest story. A young woman, 16 years old. I'm seeing 15 years old and 16 years old, but I think she was 16. She ran out of the house and she was trying to stab another woman with a knife. A police officer was called to the scene. He shot this girl and she died. And this is how Kathy Griffin takes it. Now, if you guys don't remember Kathy Griffin, she's a comedian. Warning. How in the hell does this police officer think it's a good idea to fire shots blindly into a group of teenagers having a fight? Yes, one of them has a knife. Oh, that never happened in your school or neighborhood? She didn't deserve to die. 16 years old, Makia Bryant. There was a lot of this. There was a lot of people trying to underplay the fact that this girl had a knife, including now her mother was interviewed, and we're going to get that sound a little bit later. But her mother said that she's very motherly, the daughter, and that, you know, she was very interested in peace. I'm not trying to be callous, and you got to be so careful about it because you don't want to come off any certain way. But the fact is that this girl was stabbing another girl with a knife, or she was trying to, and the cop intervened. Am I crazy? Am I missing something? Are we just supposed to let people stab each other and the cops just supposed to sit there and go, you know, I would kind of weigh in on this. I would kind of get myself involved, but then I might become the number one most evil cop in America and my life might be destroyed. So I'm going to sit this one back and see how it plays out. Let me know. Maybe that's what's supposed to happen. Maybe I'm crazy. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsby Inn, located on beautiful Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. That's Follinsby Inn, spelled F-O-L-L-A-N-S-B-E-E. Go to follinsbyinn.com. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Which mass political hack is the most embarrassing? Charlie Bacon Parker, Ed Markey, or Elizabeth Warren?
Ed Markey's really outdoing himself on the national stage lately. I'm going to go with Markey.
Markey's polling at 24%, Charlie Bacon Parker at 18%, and in the lead at 59%, Elizabeth Warren.
Wow, I did not see that coming. Here's another one. This is from Bree Newsom. All right, she's a grassroots organizer and blue checkmark artist. That's what her Twitter describes her as. Teenagers have been having fights, including fights involving knives, for eons. We do not need police to address these situations by showing up to the scene and using a weapon against one of the teenagers. Y'all need help. I mean that sincerely. I mean this sincerely. Does the girl whose life was saved by the police officer, does her life not matter? I'm curious. If she had been killed by this motherly, peaceful woman, what would be the story then? Are we just supposed to let that happen? Let's play. This is Makia Bryant's mother on the scene.
Makia was named after a male prophet in the Bible. She was a very loving, peaceful little girl. She was 16 years old. She was an honor roll student. And Makia had a motherly nature about her. She promoted peace. And that's something that I want to always be remembered.
She promoted peace. The entire reason that this happened was because she was trying to stab someone with a knife. I'm not buying that. And now this cop is going to be all over the news. They're probably going to have to build a fence around his house to protect him. And it's just, and here's the other question, and I'm going to ask Jennifer Oliver O'Connell about this on the other side. What happens when nobody wants to be police officers anymore? Seriously, if you had a young son or daughter and they said, "Mom, I want to be a cop." If I did, I would say, find something else. It's not a job I would envy. These are high stress situations, and the world is just waiting for you to do something that they can characterize as racist and then destroy you. And I don't understand how we're going to still have people who are cops willing to do that job. It's a terrible position to be in. I would love to hear everybody else's take on this. I don't think it's about racial justice at this point. This is about keeping the divide strong, the narrative strong. And the same reason goes for why Joe Biden and Kamala Harris came out yesterday and said what they said, that we're going to keep at it or keep going. It's just, for the unifier in chief, this guy has done more to divide the country. He's making Barack Obama seem like a real peacemaker. And he's only been in for, you know, less than 100 days. It's absolutely insane. Jennifer Oliver O'Connell is coming up next. We're going to ask her about this and also about the recall campaign for Gavin Newsom. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We're talking about the latest controversial video that's going viral of a woman, of a teenager in Columbus, Ohio. She was shot by a police officer after trying to stab another teenager with a knife. And my producer just pointed out a lot of people are describing this as a knife fight. It is not a knife fight, because the girl who was almost killed with the knife did not also have a knife. It was just a attempted stabbing, I think is the better way to put it. And now we're seeing that the social justice warriors on Twitter are talking about this, and, you know, it's becoming a hashtag, and we're going to get into that all throughout the day, so don't go anywhere. But we also, we have a great guest joining us right now. She's one of my absolute favorites to have on the show, from Red State, Jennifer Oliver O'Connell. Thank you so much for coming back on, Jennifer.
Hi, Grace. Great to be talking with you. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. So I want to talk first about your piece, The Chauvin Verdict Aftermath, What America Do We Live In? Because you broke down a little bit of what Joe Biden had to say yesterday. And the president's words, especially when you wrote them down and I could see them on the paper, I was thinking, wow, this is really wild. I think part of the point that you drove home is that he mentioned staying at it. And you said, what does this staying at it involve? Describe to people why you're so concerned with his remarks yesterday.
I'm concerned because, first of all, there are questions all over the place about his mental state and mental capacities. So is he talking off the top of his head, which he has for most of his career, even without the questions? Is he actually serious about anything? And as you read the article, I make the point that if he was truly serious about keeping at supposed social justice and equity, then he would have repealed his 1994 crime bill. He would have gotten rid of, mandatory minimums. He would have done something in his 47-year electoral career to fix these things. And now suddenly he's president and we're going to do something about it. It's like, what does that mean? You know, you best friend of white supremacists, proven, what does that mean?
Right.
From coming from you.
And Jennifer, I do also have to ask you, because of course the politicians were the first ones we heard from after the verdict came down yesterday. And I thought one of the most jarring comments was by Nancy Pelosi. I want to play this and get your take. Cut 7, please, Jared.
Thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life for justice, for being there to call out to your mom. How heartbreaking was that? Call out for your mom. I can't breathe. But because of you and because of thousands, millions of people around the world who came out for justice, your name will always be synonymous with justice.
Now, forget the fact that sometimes she confuses his name. She's called him George Kirby in the past, not just George Floyd. Mm-hmm. But Jennifer, do you think that you talk a lot in this piece that people can find at Red State about the Police Reform Act that Senator Tim Scott brought to the floor, and it was completely wiped away by Democrats. They wanted nothing to do with it. But I'm seeing this mentality where it's not about actually changing things. It's about creating martyrs out of certain people. And now George Floyd, she's thanking him for his sacrifice.
Yeah, as if George Floyd wanted to die or chose to die. Did he? Did they set this up? There's some buzz on Twitter saying two people have said it. I think somebody in his family said used sacrifice. I think Kamala Harris used sacrifice, if I'm not mistaken. I'll have to listen to it again. But what is this sacrifice? He was held down, you know, on drugs, the combination of either being held down by Chauvin's knee, whatever caused his death. But it's not like he willingly said, yeah, I'm going to, you know, fill myself up with drugs and get caught by the cops. And then this cop is going to do X, Y, Z. It's just a very bizarre statement. It also gives you an insight into the agenda of the left and the agenda of Democrats that, as you said, they want to make people martyrs for a cause, for their cause of so-called justice. And it's like, no, he's not a martyr. You made him a martyr, but he's not, nor is he a cause for justice. He's a tragic victim of police officer's hubris. But trying to make him into this almost saint-like qualities is just, you know, first of all, it digs into where is your mindset at? And secondly, it whitewashes the nuances of the entire situation. It's a tragic situation all around.
I think that's a great way to put it. And I also think that there is something to be said for thinking that Derek Chauvin was wrong and not necessarily assuming that everything has to do with racism. I mean, there was definitely foul play here. And I think most people saw that video and were horrified. I would say the majority of people who saw it. But there's been this conversation about white police officers and black victims. And I'm just starting to think when I see this situation. So let's move now to the situation in Columbus, Ohio. Jennifer, it really makes me start to think, what was that cop supposed to do in that situation? Was he supposed to let one teenager stab the other one so that he was not now labeled the most racist man in America?
Well, according to some people, he was supposed to, you know, shoot the knife out of her hand, you know, leave her disabled, but make sure she was alive. And it's just like, you know, these people have never shot a gun.
Right.
And you know, these people have never been in an intense situation where you have to act quickly. I watched some of the video, not all of it. And you know, I'm actually writing a piece at Red State about it this afternoon, so stay tuned. But I agree, what was he supposed to do? He acted to save the young lady in pink who did not have a knife and who clearly was about to get taken out. You know, there's this one image where she is literally raising and holding the knife. And, you know, knives, you can stab as many times. And frankly, if you hit a major artery, you're gone. And so she looked intent on doing something, and he acted quickly to stop her. And that was his action to do that. It goes back for me to people, first of all, othering cops. We've done, or should I say, the left has done a good job in othering them as, you know, these evil entities of the state, and they've done it for their advantage as well as toward their disadvantage. But it's also people just don't understand what is required to do that job and what is required to save a life. And sadly, you know, you have to make those choices. Either both of them are dead or one of them is dead. You know, my job is to save a life. And so he chose to save the girl in pink. But people want to paint this as a racist thing when it's a cop thing. And it's an appropriate use of force thing. He didn't, you know, she wasn't shot 16 times. You know, we are taught in gun training. I have trained with a gun, you know, two shots to disable. And, you know, what the two more were for, maybe cops are trained differently. But it wasn't excessive at all. So to think that, you know, this has anything to do with race and to try to twist it as evil cops, it's just not there. I applaud the Ohio Police Department who quickly reviews the video and quickly got it out to snuff out what someone would love to foment as, you know, another George Floyd or another Derek Chauvin.
Exactly. I'm speaking with Jennifer Oliver O'Connell. You can follow her on Twitter as The Girl Turns, and she also writes for Red State. She'll have a piece on that a little bit later. And Jennifer, you talked a little bit about police reform in your article, and I think that that's a conversation that a lot of people would love to have. I think that there's this idea that white people in America or conservatives in America do not think that police can do any wrong. And that's just not true. But I also think there's a real nervousness right now in the country when it comes to talking about race or maybe being critical of certain situations, like with these two teenagers. I, for one, came out here at the beginning of the show and I got a little tongue-tied because everyone is so afraid that if they say the wrong thing, they're going to be labeled racist. And so it kind of stops any real conversation from happening about how to make things change for the better. Jennifer, are you there? Oh, we lost Jennifer. All right, guys, but we will try to get her back. I do have oh, there she is. Jennifer, are you with us? Jennifer? Oh, no, we lost her. That was Jennifer Oliver O'Connell. We'll try to get her on maybe again next week. You can find her on Twitter at As The Girl Turns. She writes a little bit about the Police Reform Act from Senator Tim Scott, and it does make me sad that a lot of progress is not made because conservatives are labeled as these racist, crazy people, when really you had a conservative like Senator Tim Scott, who's an incredible black man, who said, listen, these are some ideas that I think could actually help going forward so we avoid some tragedies. And of course, the left wanted nothing to do with it. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you're going to want to open those doors and windows. Jared, tell us a little bit about your allergies and how the thunderstorm helped you.
So if you've experienced allergies, you understand this. But if you haven't, the runny nose, the scratchy throat, your eyes water, sometimes your ears, even it feels like you have a cold. But the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is great because allergy medicine doesn't always get all the symptoms, but the thunderstorm actually cleans the air around you. It creates ionized, oxygenated air. So you are breathing clean air. It gets rid of the allergens in the air. It gets rid of pollutants. It can even get rid of some viruses. You're just breathing clean air. And for somebody who has trouble breathing in the pollination of the world, it's a lifesaver.
And right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE, and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. This is a really great product. I'm going to hold it up so you guys can see. It's very small. You just plug it into the wall. I used it last night. We cooked steaks on a cast iron, and they're delicious, but the steam, your entire kitchen gets really steamy. You just turn this on. It cleans out the air, works like a charm. So make sure you guys check that out. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. We'll be back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Senator Tim Scott released a statement after the verdict yesterday for Derek Chauvin was guilty. He said, to deny the progress we've made is just as damaging as not making progress at all. I urge people across this nation to peacefully make their voices heard and engage in conversations that will continue to move us toward a more just America. I believe in the goodness of our country. We can and will do better. That is a much more positive statement and much more uplifting than that of, let's say, Nancy Pelosi or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Maxine Waters or Al Sharpton. But that was Senator Tim Scott. I think that's beautifully said. And I think conversation is really what needs to happen. I think people are so afraid to talk about things without being labeled as racist or, you know, any of the labels that you've all probably gotten at some point in your lives. We have to keep having conversations for there to be progress. And that is why we're having conversations on this show all the time, including with the wonderful Jennifer Oliver O'Connell from Red State. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining the show once again.
Well, sure, Grace. Thank you. I totally agree. It's in conversations at the local level. We did a podcast, a VIP podcast for Red State yesterday with myself and my colleague Jeff Charles, Scott Hounsell, and Thomas LeDuc. And we talked about that really any police reform, and conservatives are for it just as much as the other side is for it.
Right.
Has to happen at the local level, really. That's where it's going to make a difference. And so conversations about, first of all, finding out about what your local police do. So many people are clueless about where their precinct is, who patrols what, where they go. Find out what your local police do. Talk to them about these situations. Maybe go on a ride-along with them to see what they have to deal with and the nature of their job. I had one person who I follow said, you know, tomorrow I'm going to drop off some donuts and pizza to my local precinct because they deserve it and they need it. Honor cops, good cops who are doing a good job, spotlight them, show them, you know, that we do care about the work that they do and care about their safety and them doing a good job, but also, you know, start holding the bad apples accountable. And there needs to be change in that regard as well.
Absolutely. And one thing I found interesting, Jennifer, is there was a video of Maxine Waters when she was at the protest for Dante Wright over the weekend. And the man who was asking her questions, I believe he was a black man, and he said something along the lines of, it feels like this always happens and nothing changes. And I kind of thought to myself, well, it's ironic that he's asking Maxine Waters this, because from what I can see and the rhetoric that I've heard her say, not just about police shootings, but about the border and about everything, is that this is exactly what she likes. She likes to go to places and incite violence and create controversy and become the headline. But that doesn't necessarily mean that anything gets done. It's history just repeats itself over and over again. And Maxine Waters and Al Sharpton seem to always be there getting on their private planes to kind of incite more of this chaos.
Yeah, every party, as far as I'm concerned, has some flamethrowers. All they do is incite stuff, and then there are people in the party who either get stuff done or actually do stuff. She's definitely been nothing but a flamethrower. I have no clue. Actually, I do have a clue why she's still in elected office, but she's been in office for almost four decades, and she's done nothing for her district. She's done nothing for anyone. So she's a flamethrower. She's not serious, but for whatever reason, she gets the press.
Exactly. Jennifer Oliver O'Connell, I do have to ask you another question here, though, because I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about Governor Gavin Newsom. I know you're one of the most outspoken critics of Newsom. And what's going on with the recall? How's the vaccine distribution going in California? I haven't heard great things, but are things turning around for Gavin?
No, things are not turning around for Gavin. The Senate attempted an end run to help him with basically trying to pass a bill that they said it wouldn't affect the Newsom recall, but passing a bill where they can actually look for the signature, the opponents can look for the signatures of people who signed it to try to make them change their mind. So that was the latest attempt to help Gavin. But no, the recall is going through. The last I checked, it was the mid-March. We were at 1.18 verified signatures, meaning that those are signatures that are solid. And the goal is 1.49 verified signatures. So that was a month ago or almost a month ago. And the news reports are starting to say, well, it looks like it's going to happen. So, the goal now is find a credible candidate who's going to stand against him in order to replace him.
Yes. And with that, you have your hard work cut out for you, because that's the trickiest part. I think there's no question that people in California are ready to see Gavin Newsom go. It's just a question of who could replace him. Jennifer Oliver O'Connell, you guys can follow her at As the Girl Turns. Check out all of her pieces at Red State and go to her website, asthegirlturns.com. Jennifer's got a new column coming out later this afternoon, so I'll be sure to tweet that out. Thank you so much for joining the show. We'll be back on the other side with more of your calls, guys. Do not go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.